Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another bonus edition of the POD cast. This is the BONUS cast number 30. Number 30. We've come all the way around. We've got a returning guest for the first time. Well, actually, no, the second
that's
time.
That's concise.
Yeah. We had Jesse back twice. Fuck. Well, whatever. Well,
that's because we wanted to make Jesse watch Mudvayne videos.
You did. You were very insistent on that. Anyway, I'm John.
Well, I just, you know, he's a perfect guy to watch Mudvayne videos.
Yeah, no, definitely. I'm John. With me is a man who is still looking for a place for his head. It's Brian Quinby.
Oh, boy, I can't wait to get into this album. I think people are going to really love all of my opinions that they picked this to troll me.
I feel I don't know, man. I feel like Chris and I maybe are going to balance you out. We do have a great guest with us. Like I said, the man who was with us right at the start, the very first bonus episode of the POD cast. He's one of our faves. Very funny comedian, host of Not Even a Show. Chris James is here. Hi, Chris.
Oh, hi. Thanks for having me. And I'm really happy to be here. But I am genuinely, I do not remember being on the podcast.
You did Woodstock 99.
You did Woodstock 99 with us.
Ah, yes. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I was like, okay, this should be fun. I don't really know what the format is. I don't really know how we're doing this, but I guess this will be a good time. And I have done this before, you know? So I guess it couldn't have been a very good time if I've totally blocked it out of my memory entirely. It might have actually been really bad for me. But anyways, thanks for having me on again.
I think you had a good time because we talked about Brian going to Woodstock 99. So I feel like that's automatically a pretty good time. Although the Woodstock 99 album was genuinely horrible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chris is 2 for 2 here.
We like this album, Brian. So you're in trouble here, buddy. I don't know. I don't know how you could dislike this album. You're the man who says every cover is great. All remixes are good. No, you hate remixes. That's the problem. You're not. You've always been anti-remix.
I will say this, and I say this on so many POD cast episodes when I'm baffled. Who the fuck is this for? Who is this for? And apparently Chris and John, two guys co-host with me.
Hang on one second here, because I just want to be clear. Like, I definitely enjoyed it more than I thought I was going to enjoy it. But, you know, I ain't no fucking, you know what I mean? I'm into serious fucking old school fucking American rock and roll. You know what I mean? So, yeah, no, I mean, I liked it the appropriate amount. That still makes me cool, definitely. But I thought I was going to hate it. I definitely discovered today before listening to it that it was 22 tracks, which was
I
guess a lot of them are just, you know, voicemails or whatever, which is bizarre. And I guess we'll probably definitely talk about that, but it did that put me off a lot where I was like, oh shit, like, okay, this is like, I thought I could knock this off in like 30 minutes or whatever. This is an hour or something that I have to sit down and listen to. But yeah, as you know, John, I did start getting into some of the tracks, so it wasn't a horrible experience.
Well, thank you. I'm glad it wasn't horrible, because sometimes we do feel pretty bad when we bring a guest on here and we subject them to a record and we know it's just a miserable time for everyone. But Chris, we talked about all the way back on episode 1, even though you don't remember it, we talked about sort of your history with nu metal. But one thing I don't think we got into, which you told me, is that your first concert was actually Linkin Park.
I mean, I must have said that. Like, again, had to have, because if I was on this fucking new metal, by the way, I kept asking people this week, like when John asked me to do this, I was like, it's like a fucking podcast about, I could not remember the name of the type of music. I was like, fucking Linkin Park and like POD and shit. And nobody fucking helped me. Like, I said it to like 5 people, not one person knew the type of music. But yeah, I must have mentioned it, I'm sure, because that's like one of my only things about, POD, and I guess Hoobastank was on it as well. I mean, literally,
Bad band. I think Story of the Year, I think, was the fourth band on that tour.
You are right. That's absolutely right. That rings a bell, definitely. And I mentioned, I'm sure then it was I bought the tickets for my girlfriend at the time, and I was expecting her to go with someone else.
Now I'm remembering this story that you went with a girlfriend. Yeah.
And yeah, it was not like a great experience, because at the time I would say that I definitely I guess hated that kind of music would be the right way to describe it. It was like, I guess like you would say like, what's like the word I'm looking for? Like my least favorite type of music in the world at the time. And so it was, yeah, really a horrible, horrible experience. I would say, I think Linkin Park, as I can probably mention, I'm going to stop talking about it now after this, but it was probably my favorite of the bands. Like they were the best. Their performance was definitely the best. Their music... Yeah. I didn't care for at the time, but their performance was the best, definitely.
I believe that. I've seen them live, and they were a great
Did you see that
great
show?
Live band. No, I saw them on the Summer Sanitarium tour, which was Metallica, Limp Bizkit, Linkin Park, Deftones, and Mudvayne.
So much better.
It was a very good show, yeah. It was an awesome show, yeah.
Yeah.
It's funny because your...
Was that after?
It would have been 03.
Oh, okay. So
probably
I guess
would have been just
bit,
slightly after. Maybe
you just like kind of got. You were just kind of I was just kind of early listener to the band. I was just
you were an early adopter
little
of Linkin Park.
yeah.
Or, a lot of people always. You were into Linkin Park when they were called Zero still.
I mean, it wasn't so cool. Like, I went and saw them at, like, this little place called the Pacific Coliseum.
Yeah, back when they weren't very big at all.
No.
I find, like, that tour is very funny, too, because of what you're saying, those were sort of, like, the bands. I mean, not Story of the Year so much, but POD, Hoobastank, and Linkin Park, they were, like, those bands that did sort of branch off of nu metal in a particular way where... people who you were sort of doing that impression of, like, oh, I only listened to, like, they would have hated that tour. Like, they would have, yo, that's a fucking tour for fucking girls, man. Like,
yeah,
what
well,
the
they
fuck,
wouldn't
you know?
Have said girls, but you don't want to say the word.
Well.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I will vouch for Chris on that. I would have probably used a slur.
Oh, at the time?
Back when I was a kid.
Yeah, at the time? Are you kidding me? That was a much different word that you were lucky if you were getting girl. Definitely. You were like,
yeah, girl.
Thank you.
Girl
or
bitch would be way more preferable
Ideal.
To the things I said.
Ideal, yeah.
And that's never a good place when bitch is it was a preferred word. That's never a good place to be in.
I think things have improved in that way because it was like, it was kind of like, oh man, like I'm just talking about kind of doing some normal shit. Why you got to like call me that word? <You
know>? I hated this band. I thought it was a children's band. And that's what, when we originally reviewed.
Who are you
Hybrid
talking
Theory,
about?
Linkin Park.
He thinks it's music for children. When we reviewed Hybrid
children.
Theory, that's what he said.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. I mean, fair enough. I mean, I guess all, like, you know, I guess children. Okay, hang on. He's just before
it.
I've even said my thought.
Because I know what you're about to say.
He said no before I even said what I was saying.
You know exactly what you're about to say. I know it. Okay. What was your first? Was the Linkin Park show your first show too, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then Strokes was the Strokes was like the first one that I chose to go to.
That was an outdoor
show. And the guy from, he's a famous actor. He was on Breaker High, but he's been on a lot of things since. He's a big guy with a beard, husky actor. But anyways, the guy who was actually with Ryan Gosling in Breaker High. It was him and Ryan Gosling, and he went on to like star in a bunch of things. Some people know who I'm talking about. Definitely.
I know who you're talking about.
But yeah, he was in the crowd of that show. And speaking of just being shitty and being, I maybe mentioned this on the last time, but we just yelled. We kept yelling like BH. BH, like our friends and I, because we were all fucking drunk and shit at the Stroke show, and we just thought it was so funny. And this guy's like, "I'm just trying to watch the show, dude." We're not listening to the album again, though, right?
Yeah, we are. We listen to every track. We sit here for the full 4 minutes and we listen. No, we don't listen to the tracks, but we are going to go through them. I will. As we said, we are doing Reanimation, which is the remix album for Hybrid Theory. This is thanks to Darcy for this episode. Thanks
Brian,
for donating for this
Brian,
one.
Brian, do you want to say thanks to Darcy?
Yeah, thank you, Darcy, for picking this album.
Brian's
Can I say,
pissed. Brian's, Brian is fucking pissed.
My first concert was like scary. Compared to your guys' first concert.
What was yours? It was like,
you went to Megadeth, right?
It was a Megadeth concert with Korn and
I you were
Fear
say
Factory.
Gigi Allen.
Well, I'm not that old.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, actually, when you're in a Megadeth audience, you're, and this is like a low point for Megadeth. They were playing a 2,000 seat venue. So the people that were there were very hardcore people.
I see.
They were nuts. But yeah, I'm just bragging because of how cool I am.
I see, but you're just trying to, you're trying to once again sort of state like, hey, listen, I listen to fucking real serious
tough guy music.
Tough guy music.
Tough guy music. Yeah. Brian always talks about that.
To this remix bullshit, which, by the way, I think some of the stuff was fantastic. I mean, how can you hate on some of the verses in there from some absolute legends of hip hop on this? I mean, you can't really hate on that. And
Brian will find a way to, though. We'll get there. We
actually I don't want to spoil everything I'm going to talk about, but I'll just say this as a general overarching thing before I shit all over this album. Any song where it wasn't Linkin Park rapping is good. And every song where Linkin Park raps sucks.
I kind of am moving over to Team Brian because that was something that I did notice. Although the really famous song, like number 3 or whatever, that one I feel like I really liked that as a remix. But anyways, I'm sure we'll get into it when we talk about it. But yeah, generally I do agree with Brian that the best parts were the parts that were sort of non-Lincoln, you know?
Yeah, there's also fair. One other thing that this album was behind the eight ball with me, John, and I didn't want to text you this, but when I looked at the track list, much like Chris, I noticed how many songs there were, but that didn't even like annoy me that much because, you know, somebody paid for this. I'm fucking willing to do it, do the work, but like
somebody paid literally for it and you have this attitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why we're thanking Darcy. Darcy paid for this. Yeah.
Well, they paid. So somebody paid for it. But when I saw the track list and I saw the names of the songs,
the way that they've styled the names is really bad. Yeah. It's really
it made
rough.
So Brian, it made me mad.
Made me pissed off too. It's like what a little kid would do or whatever. Yeah. Like a little child, like a little baby brain.
It's awful. Yeah. That part, I grant you for sure.
Yeah. And again, leaving the voicemails on there, I've just taught like that's really. Really baby brain stuff.
Guys, we didn't know. I don't know who the fuck those people were. Like, it would be nice if we knew, but that was like such a trope in the 90s and early 2000s. You would do an album and you would put voicemails about the album on it. Like, hey, man, we're trying to link up. I'll see you at Fatburger in a half an hour and then we'll go fucking bang out this track.
Yeah.
And the next song starts.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in any case, this is the remix album for Hybrid Theory, which, of course, we can go over the insane stats on Hybrid Theory again. It is the best-selling debut album of the 21st century. It is the best-selling rock album of the 21st century. It was the best-selling debut album of all time since Guns N' Roses in 1987 with Appetite for Destruction. It sold over 27 million copies worldwide. This album obviously meant to capitalize on the success of that album. This came out on July 30th, 2002. This album also had a shit ton of success. It is the fourth highest selling remix album of all time. It is only behind Michael Jackson, Madonna, and The Beatles. That's the remix album in order. Michael Jackson, number one, Madonna, two, The Beatles, three, Linkin Park, four, you know, four titans of music and industry. So obviously a massive selling album. It sold over 2 million copies to date. It debuted at number 2 on the Billboard 200. It went to number 3 in the UK, number 3 in Canada. It charted in basically any country you can name. It charted there. Year-end-wise on the Billboard 200, it was the 70th best-selling album of 2002, and it is certified platinum in the UK, platinum in the United States, and gold in Argentina, Australia, Austria, Brazil, Germany, New Zealand, and Switzerland. So a massive, massive album. We will go through it track by track as we do on these bonus episodes, I should say. It also had a single, Points of Authority, which was a big single, had a video. And they also were featured on an MTV show called MTV Playback, where they made a video for every single one of these songs. So that's how big this album was. Okay, here we go. Opening is just, sorry.
I just want to let the record show just before Brian says anything here that while you were saying some of that stuff about the album, he's like was making faces. like he was like going like, like he was like going like making faces like when you were like, oh, the best selling remix album music, like going like
no
that.
Shit.
Like,
come on.
It was fucking wild, man. He was like mad at it.
But so you said this album is number one, or number three?
Number four. It sounds the fourth.
Like number two to me.
Wow, you had to go a long way to fuck
you
up.
Think it's better?
You think it's better?
You think it should be higher?
You think it should be higher?
No, poop.
Like you think it should be ahead of Madonna. Like, Madonna's number two, so you think
fair
it's...
Fair enough.
So Brian just really showing that he actually does love this album in a weird way. Fair enough, you know? So the first track, we don't have to really talk about. It's just an opening sort of
little
intro thing.
But I recognized
it. You did? Because you'd heard this album before?
No, but it's like part of another song, I think.
Crawling.
Violin.
Yeah, at the end, right?
Same violin as Crawling. But then it doesn't go into Crawling.
No,
it goes
it doesn't.
Into the first single, which is Points of Authority.
Well, can you say it the way that it's?
So it's PTS dot capital O capital F dot A-T-H-R-T-Y.
Wow, that's Brian, that's kind of fucking cool, dude. Like, come on, dude. Like, that's kind of badass.
Kind of badass, baby. Badass.
Like, Points of Authority. Like, kind of like, but it's almost like makes it feel digital. You know what I mean?
It's very cool. It's reanimated, Chris. We're speaking a new language. Baby.
Very
a
cool.
A language where we don't need vowels and there's periods in the middle of sentences. So this track is produced by and featuring Jay Gordon.
I don't know who
Orgy.
That is.
He's the lead singer of Orgy.
I don't know the band Orgy. Do they have a song that I would know, or are they just
their biggest song was a cover of New Order's Blue Monday.
Their biggest song was a cover.
How does it feel?
Well, I know
to
that
treat
song.
Me yeah. like yeah. So that was their big that was their big song, and then they had another song called Stitches. Those were their two big songs.
So they weren't that famous though.
No, they were on the Family Values tour 98 with like Korn and Ice Cube and Limp Bizkit.
Okay.
And that was sort of what got them bigger ish. Brian loves Orgy. So I'm guessing, Brian, you maybe have a soft spot for this song.
Let me look at my notes. I got to bring the notes up since all the songs sound the same. I had to take some pretty detailed notes.
So this is the first single or the only single that was released off of Reanimation. I think Points of Authority is one of my favorite songs on Hybrid Theory, and I think this remix of it is excellent.
So here's what I said. I'm not sure I hate it, but I'm not sure what the original sounds like anymore. And then I don't remember the original. So the second time I listened, I was like, well, I don't remember the original, so I can't really dislike this that much because I don't
actually
remember.
This is pretty similar to the original.
That's what I was going to say. That was my issue with it was I don't love the song. To me, it's like not one of my favorites. It's sort of I do have an issue where I think that they sound a bit generic sometimes, and their songs sound very similar to me, you know? Certain songs, some songs not, but that's one of these, and I found that it was very much not different than the original until the end. It kind of was like chopped up a bit at the end, which I liked and enjoyed, and I like that type of music, and so I enjoyed that part, and I wish there was more of it, but it was not one of my favorites. At this point, I was kind of like, oh, for fuck's sakes. I gotta listen to a fucking hour of this shit. It was what I was thinking. To be honest,
I was starting to feel real confident when I heard this. I was like, all right, game name shame fame plague. He does this this breakdown where he just does a bunch of words that rhyme. It killed me, but I liked it. I was like, you know what? This is fucking fine. If this is what it is, it's like. I can do this. I can do this for an hour, I think.
Okay. So you like the one that I thought was the worst.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I like this one too. I mean, I think
you're gonna like them all though, right, John?
I like a lot of them. Yeah, not all of them, but I mean, I still like Hybrid Theory. I could listen to that anytime. I think when I talked about this when we did the Hybrid Theory episode, but I. Which, by the way, is our most listened to episode by like 10 times because Spotify decided to put it on the like Linkin Park Hybrid Theory page for some reason. So like if you go on Spotify and you listen to Hybrid Theory, it'll be like, here's some podcasts about Hybrid Theory and ours is on there. So our episode of the Linkin Park, I believe it's over 50,000 downloads.
Do you guys want to hear my Hybrid Theory? Do you want to hear my Hybrid Theory?
I would love to, yeah.
Just smoke sativa.
You know, that's gonna... as bad as my number two.
Oh my god! You want to hear my Hybrid Theory?
Yeah,
I think Mazda the new CX-50 is going to be the best of those cars on the market.
Mazda. My mom had a Mazda.
I have one. I have a CX-5. It's a nice car.
Well, does people know that, or is that the first time you said it on the pod?
It's probably the first time. I don't know.
Wow, that's cool for some people. Some people are like, oh, that's what he's... Okay, that's what he's rolling around in? Okay, cool. Very cool.
Big car reveal. Someone's going to clip that...
car reveal. Have you revealed it on any podcast?
I don't think so. Well, we did the episode in my car where I pretended to be Peep This Out.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah. Oh, yeah,
so
that's
people,
right.
So people, like, saw my car, yeah. But... we do have a listener who is a very prominent, like car journalist.
So you think they're going to write about your car?
He might be the one guy. He might be the one guy who's like, oh, that's what John's working with.
I see. He's like, okay.
Yeah.
I just want to say I've been inside John's car. It's a nice car.
Like a bunch of times. Yeah, it's really clean. I drive you to softball.
Yeah, he keeps it really clean. He's a really safe, good driver. I'll say that. John's really, of course. Good.
Wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. So it's, Nolan. Shout out to Nolan. He works with Donut Media. They do a lot of car coverage and he's a big fan of the show. He shares it a lot, which is very nice. Thank you, Nolan. And yeah, that's what I'm rolling with. So maybe Nolan will have some like suggestions for like what I should be rolling with, you know?
Yeah, maybe he's like, ditch that. Maybe he'll say. And then you have to change a lot of things around, like right before you're getting married and stuff too. It might kind of really fuck things up.
Yeah, I'll just be like, Becca, look, I got to buy a new car. This guy who likes POD casts says I got to get a new car.
Nolan says I got to get a Lamborghini. Nolan.
Imagine we just do the next bonus edition of the POT cast. Yeah. And I'm like, I was just driving around in my Lambo. I just like casually talk about, it was just on my Lambo. No big deal.
So whatever, man. Just because you have a socialist Twitch stream doesn't mean you can't have a fucking Lamborghini. Sorry. That's all right.
I know. Yeah.
Okay. Next track is a cover of In the End. This is produced by Cutmaster Kurt, who is the DJ for Cool Keith, and Motion Man, who is one half of the Masters of Illusion with Cool Keith. And it is styled ENTH E ND. Nth E ND.
Yeah, very, Brian. That's very cool.
Yo, yeah. It was
Come on, dude. Give me a break.
This is like the thing.
You don't think
that,
that's cool, man?
Yeah, they're, well, no, that's what they're like. We got to give them a little fucking razzle dazzle on this remix album so they don't say it's a cash grab.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I got hooked in right here. This is the one that, because for me, a casual listener, of course, I'm like, oh, I recognize this song. I know this song. It's very, very famous. I liked the way that it was remixed. So I even liked like the chorus, you know, I liked the way that even maybe more so than the original. Like I prefer that, like sort of the hollow vocal where it's like sort of just on its own almost, you know? And then I loved the rap on it. Like I loved the hip hop verses. I thought this was dope. I was like kind of high and
what?
I was like, yeah, I was high.
Holy
and I
shit,
was like,
dude.
And I was like, started getting emotional while I was listening to this song.
You're
I started
like, wow,
getting emotional.
It is like in the end, things do fall apart. But what eventually to me will be a memory.
But John,
is so
what
true.
I started thinking about this guy. I don't know. Spoiler alert. This guy This guy took his own life.
Spoiler. And so it's very, spoiler alert.
It's very sad. And it really, I don't get emotional about like celebrities dying, even ones that I like really love, you know, but there was just something about it. I was so high and I was listening to it and he was like saying like in the end, nothing really, you know, and I was like, oh man, it's like. This poor guy, he was like really having a hard time. And I started feeling really sad. I know a lot of people talk about that, like in his music. And I started feeling like a teenage girl, emotional level, listening to this music. And like, I would say I was very close to crying for Chester.
Wow.
Very close to.
I wasn't expecting that by track three of this review. I wasn't expecting you're going to be like, dude, I was really close to crying 6 minutes into this record.
But it was just from this song.
No,
it never,
it's a great song. I love the remix too. I love the way it starts. Like, I like when it's a remix and you can immediately tell it's like going to be different. Like, he's fucking around with the piano line. It's like, doom. Like, it's just got a good, it's got a good like, feel.
Brian, you didn't like
Brian
that.
Hates it.
Let Brian me explain.
I love Brian doesn't like Brian's face. This is one of my favorite things ever because John will start talking about something like, oh man, I love this shit. And Brian's just like looking at him like, what the fuck are you talking about?
It's because Brian and I usually pretty much agree. Like when we do albums, most of the time, even if like I really like it and he only kind of likes it, we're usually on the same side of the line, whether we like it or we don't like it.
I see.
So when we're on opposite sides of the line, I do think there is a little bit of 18-year-old Brian who wants to call me a slur and just like he's just like waiting for me to finish so he can pants me or something like that.
Yeah. Have you read the conspiracy theories about Chester?
No, come on, man. How long are these podcasts?
Not long enough. Not
you've never
long
heard
enough
those?
For the conspiracy theory.
I do want to watch a movie tonight still. So let's not dig into the Chester conspiracy theories.
But they thought he was going to...
Oh, you know he's doing it anyway.
Oh, well, you know, he's going to do it anyway.
In 1 second, they thought he was about to bust... like a global pedophile cabal, and then you know they killed him.
Like
I think they even tie him to Jeffrey Epstein.
Like
actually.
QAnon stuff, basically.
Yeah, he was going to expose it. That it's conservatives that do it too. So there's like a few celebrities, and he's one of them. But this song, the funny thing about this song is it's really not bad, and I'm going to tell you why. This is every nu metal band's like hip hop. Song like with the piano in it, like the piano reminds me of In Together Now off of Significant Other.
True.
Pretty much any song one of these bands do that's supposed to be like just a hip hop song, they put that piano in it, and it just sounded exactly like a million other songs. But also, it's not bad. It was okay.
I mean, this is also the piano from In the End. Like that's the only difference. Like I know I hear what you're saying. You're totally right in that a lot of the like that was the way the nu metal bands would signal, hey, something different's coming up. We got a little piano, little
doing some rap, baby.
Yeah, it's coming up. But at least Linkin Park did have the piano in the original song, I will say.
Yeah.
Okay. The next track that we wanted to maybe touch on this a little bit, these show up 3 times on the record. The track 4, Chali, track 10, Riff Raff, and track 16, Steph. Are voicemails left for Linkin Park by Charlie Tuna, Steph from the Deftones, and I don't even know who's on the Riff Raff one, to be honest with you. But
Riff Raff.
Riff Raff.
Yeah. Riff Raff was like 10 when this album came out. It was young Riff Raff. Yeah, Lil Riff. He was just on tour with Lil Bow Wow and Lil Romeo, and Lil Riff was the opener. But Chris... I mean, you were the one who, you know, you maybe wanted to touch on this just a little bit, that just having the voicemails on here.
Well, it just seems like it's almost like, and I know I was just talking about how I was like, I was showing so much love and obviously rest in peace and everything like that. But it seems like it's like kind of like a character. It shows like sort of like like a lack of, I don't know, like bad character maybe or something, or just like not my kind of like person to like that he's like putting the voicemails on there, and it, not in like a really negative way. Not that it's like, it's just like super corny, you know, like it's just like super, super corny to think that like, that like people would enjoy that. And maybe did people, am I wrong? Or do people not just listen to that and say like, that's super annoying and it's superfluous and adds nothing to it whatsoever. So it's just like, to me, it like shows something of like a, of a disconnect between like what people want, or maybe didn't even care. Maybe is just like, So it did make me think like, it made me think less of my, at that point, because after, this is a hero that I'm crying for. That I love so much. And now I'm like thinking a little bit less. I'm still obviously a beloved artist, and I still, you know, feel a lot of emotion about him. But this was a miss for me, you know, putting these on.
It's like if Enrique Iglesias sang Hero on his record, and then right after Hero was over, it's like, this is Shakira. What's up? I'm rolling up on the studio, you know, ready to bomb this track out.
Yeah, it just seems like, why would anyone want to hear that? For what? Like, maybe if it was like something remarkable happened in the conversation, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
entertaining happened in it, but they're, all of them are just voicemails, are very straightforward. I don't see the point in it. I didn't understand it at all.
Yeah, I thought rappers did this a lot too back then, and I actually think it's very funny to be a person who's like, people would love to hear the behind the scenes stuff on this album.
I think sometimes if you think people do maybe want to hear the behind the scenes, not just like, hey man, I'm gonna get at you like next week, and then we'll definitely get this thing going on. And it's like, well, yeah, that's kind of what I expected it was always like. That's not any
It's
different.
Literally just Mike Shinoda being like, I have Charlie Tuna's phone number. That's who's basically
Mike,
like...
Who, you keep saying this guy, Mike Shinoda. Who's Mike Shinoda, first off?
Okay, so Mike Shinoda is the rapper in Linkin Park.
And I laughed when I heard that first time.
Yeah.
And that's funny to me to be called the rapper in something. But I guess it's the thing. You know what I mean? It is the case, but it's just like funny to me. Still,
yeah, who's Charlie Tuna?
He's on the next track. He's in Jurassic 5.
Yeah, he's the founding member of Jurassic 5. Are you kidding me, man? That, now you're being a little bit disrespectful.
Oh man, I go nuts for that guy.
You don't have to go nuts for him, but come on, don't act like you guys not done anything. Like he's nobody.
Yeah,
just because he's not nobody. He's a very well respected.
Are you telling me, Brian? Are you telling me you haven't seen Jurassic 5? Chris Pratt's unbelievable in it.
That's a good joke.
It is literally the fifth one that he's in.
Yeah,
it actually, the joke holds up mathematically.
Yeah. It's factually true too.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think I've ever heard a Jurassic 5 song, so I didn't know this was Charlie Tuna. And to be honest,
no, don't say his name like that.
I so didn't
Brian's just like spitting it out.
Yeah, don't say it like that.
Charlie Tuna is not a good name, but I'm okay with it because it's an older style thing.
Yeah,
it's
fine. Exactly.
Yeah.
This song for me was, I loved it because I do I love Jurassic 5.
This leads into the next track, which is Forgotten, which is produced by Alchemist and features Charlie Tuna rapping, and it is styled FRGT/10, Forgotten, I guess. It's
Brian,
FRGT divided by 10.
You gotta give it up for that one. That was very cool.
Because they put a backslash in there, so that makes it automatically pretty fucking cool. Because those are in web addresses.
Very cool.
Man, I feel mean as hell because like this song, I just was like, hey, this is good because it's different people rapping.
Yeah.
And then the other note I have is that one of the guys has a funny voice, but I didn't know it was
Charlie Tuna with his baritone voice. Yeah, he's got the deep,
I'm here in this most deep.
Yeah,
that really
is. It's goofy.
I thought it was goofy.
Oh, good lord.
Why don't you try saying that to his face?
Yeah,
I would. I would. I mean, his name's Charlie Tuna, and he's probably 65. So he's I wouldn't be worried about it.
He's an older gentleman, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. But I've been working out. I love the beat. Like, Brian, this is one I thought you would be dialed into because the beat on this is killer. If you listen to this in a car,
he likes it.
This is like a trunk rattling beat. And then when Charlie Tuna's voice kicks in, because he doesn't even start rapping right away. The first thing he says is like, from the top to the bottom, like because that's in Forgotten. They say that. And then he comes in with that deep ass baritone and you're like, oh, shit's about to go down. And then
buddy, are you kidding me? All of a sudden you're like, if you're sitting in a freaking restaurant, you're saying, good Lord, you know, if you're the janitor at a restaurant, you're saying, good Lord, I'm going to have to clean a bunch of seats tonight. Because fucking Charlie Tuna's fucking big baritone voice just came through.
That's I'm squirting the thing, everywhere.
That's the thing, though. I like this song, and I'll say this, too. I couldn't tell what... Like, as soon as Charlie Tuna started rapping in this, I laughed. Because I thought it was some nu metal guy doing a rap voice. So I apologize to the Charlie Tuna fans out there.
Insane. This is like when Jessica Simpson messed up that Tuna thing. This is like the same thing.
Yeah, this Charlie. Is basically the same.
Exactly the same. Okay, the next track is Pushing Me, a cover of, or a remix rather, of Pushing Me Away. This remix is done by Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park and features Steven Richards, the lead singer of Taproot. And this one might be the most, maybe the most unhinged spelling. Pushing Me Away, P5HNG, ME ME A*WY.
Oh, man, come on, man. That's fucking cool, dude. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, the other ones have been a bit weak, but that one's fucking cool, man. And who the fuck is Steven Richards? Like,
the lead singer of Taproot.
No, I know you said that, and it did nothing for me. Well, it didn't help me at all. Well, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? Like, everybody's a fucking lead singer of some shit. What is that? I've never... What era and how what level of fame?
This era, like a C tier new metal band, I would say.
Oh, they're new. He's from another new metal band.
I don't agree. This track holds a special place in my heart because this was sort of my exposure to Taproot. I really liked his unique like vocals in this song. So that led me to check out Taproot, and I really like them. And so
it's a bad name.
Sure, for me, love this song as well. I promise there are songs on here I don't love, but this one...
You can love them all. I think it's fine, too.
I think it's cute.
Yeah, I think it's kind of cute. I think it's kind of cute. I think it's really cute, to be honest.
You're in love. You're in love with them.
Ooh, boy. John and the album sitting in a tree.
Boy. This is just like how people talked to me in high school when I told them I loved this album.
Yeah, well, hey, come on. We're keeping it all above board still.
Yeah, it's all above board, yeah.
Here's my notes on this. This is why I hate remixes. I don't even know what kind of music this is supposed to be, and it doesn't have rappers in it. It's like movie music for the end credits. I hate it. This just sounds like a Linkin Park B-side. Parentheses. Probably is.
So, yeah, I did not love this one. I said it. I have on my notes that it started pretty emo. And then it did build up, you know, it's really kind of a song that really kind of has like builds up. And I did kind of like that. At some point I realized that I like knew the original song, but I didn't really. Yeah, this one wasn't a huge one for me. Again, I wanted to hear some more rapping after hearing that last song. I was like really getting into it.
More Charlie Tuna.
Oh, yeah, with Charlie Tuna. And I was like, oh, shit. And then fucking this came on and it was like Stevie Richards from the fucking... Tank group or whatever is fucking.
The Jaw Squad.
Whoever this fucking goon is. Yeah, that's what he reminds me of. To me, he's like a jobber in wrestling. To me, he's just like, ladies and gentlemen, Steven Richards. And he comes out like, yeah, and he's got the black trunks on.
Yeah, black trunks. He's fucking out of shapes.
That was the most dad moment you've ever had. I felt like I was a kid being talked to. Yeah. You know, that Tank Group band you always
I did it as a
to.
Joke for your stupid little podcast. I'm trying to make people laugh. Jesus. Call me a dad moment. Come on.
That a real DM there.
I mean, I know it's Taproot. I was paying attention. I'm just doing comedy. Try it sometime. God. Fuck.
I mean, I did have that Jurassic 5 thing. That was
yes. Sorry, that's true. That was huge.
Okay, track 7 is a remix of A Place for My Head by Amp Live and Zion. I believe it's remixed by both or produced by both of them, but Zion is rapping on it. And also another, this one might be the more unhinged one. This is spelled PLC.4. My is spelled M-I-E, and then head is spelled H-Schwa-D. So, So they throw the old schwa in there, the combined A-E, which doesn't actually make the sound they think it makes, but in any case.
In any case, it's absolutely fucking cool as hell. I mean,
can't argue with that.
I haven't seen those letters in ages. just to see
some real different
cool.
letters.
Why these letters are fucking cool, man.
My notes get more unhinged here.
Yeah. Oh, I believe that.
It says, I like the beginning of this song because the rapping sounds good over that drum beat. And then in parentheses, I put chorus not as good. I like the tonal shift between the rappers and Linkin Park. Didn't love the yelling at the end and the piano. Second time I really liked the yelling at the end, so it's a wash.
I was going to say, I love the yelling.
The yelling at the end is the only part of the song I liked. To me, it sounded quite generic up until then. And again, like as like just sort of someone who doesn't listen to a lot of new metal, it just sort of sounded very similar to the other songs and, you know, like non-remarkable. But the yelling at the end, the aggressive ending, as I put it in my notes, I really enjoyed. I love aggression. In music, sometimes I'll put on some like good aggressive music, like maybe like Death Grips or something like that, if I'm feeling really like angry, and I'll like dance aggressively, and I find it helps a lot. And so I do love aggressive music, but yeah, I didn't like the whole song.
That's fair. Yeah, I love that end part. I think it's a really cool. It's cool too because it's sort of Linkin Park. I think were thought of as being, like kind of a wimpy band. So I sort of liked that they took one of their songs that was maybe a little heavier and made it even heavier on the remix album. I thought was kind of cool.
They weren't really thought of as a wimp. That wasn't the word that people would use. They wouldn't say they were a wimpier band. Yeah, they used a different word.
I feel like you're trying to get me to say it. That's what I feel like.
I know you. You're a teacher. You're not.
I'm not going to say it. But it just that does feel like the look you're getting on your face, even though we're over Zoom, is like,
yeah,
I wonder if
I mean,
I can get John to say
this. You're not going to say it on here. We're not driving to softball. I'm just kidding. I'm totally kidding. I don't even want to put it out there for 1 second that John says slurs. I don't even want to infer it for a moment.
I mean, that's good, though. That's a good joke. All right, the next track. This one is maybe a little bit of a departure. It's only a minute and 50 long. It's called Executioner Style, featuring the Executioners doing sort of a DJ scratching remix of Linkin Park music. It's featuring Sean C, Rock Rada, and Black Thought, which... if you could get Black Thought on your album, I'd probably have him do something much different than whatever it is he's doing on here. But this is Executioner Style. So not a remix, kind of its own thing. So I hate this track.
I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
I think I liked it too.
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
But I did get kind of hot under the collar that it was really short and went into the next song and it fucked my notes up. You know, because I'm not, what am I supposed to do? Sit here and watch the songs change? I just thought it was the same as the next song.
Yeah, totally. It definitely. And also, it was just like, I liked it enough that I was like, oh, I'd like this song to continue. But I mean, sometimes it is good. And especially, again, I wrote down, this is also kind of that a little bit aggressive compared to some of the other songs. And I do feel like those like hard hitting songs, sometimes it's good to have them be like 2 minutes, you know, you're just like, boom, you're like in and out with like, you know, like just like with like a punch kind of. And so I definitely, this was one of the songs I liked the most on the album, I would say.
I just don't like the DJ scratching. Like that just has never
been
my style.
I like that style of, I like that style. I like that older style of hip hop. And I like scratching. I like chopping. And I like all, yeah, I like all that kind of stuff.
I also, I hate that they censored the cusses. It's like, don't have rappers on your album if you're going to censor their shit. You know, because somebody says motherfucker and they censor it because they're so proud of themselves because they don't curse. So proud of themselves. So hey, I didn't like that.
Dan, mark this time down and then beep him out saying those words. It'll get a huge laugh. It'll get a huge laugh if you censor him saying it. It'll be really good.
Okay, then the next track is a remix of the song High Voltage, which it was only released on the Hybrid Theory EP, so it didn't actually make it onto the Hybrid Theory LP.
So the EP was released first, it was like the first thing they ever released?
Correct.
And then people liked it and they like signed a record label. Is that how it happened? And then they put out a full album?
Yeah. So they were, their original band name was Hybrid Theory.
Okay.
And then they were told by the label that they didn't like that name. So they changed the name to Linkin Park. So the Hybrid Theory EP was still called Hybrid Theory.
I see.
And then when they put out the first Linkin Park album, they decided to call it Hybrid Theory as a sort of nod to their past,
but
as well as a way
songs,
of describing their sound.
But did it have same songs?
So I was looking, and no, actually not. Oh. I thought there was a couple songs that ended up on the Hybrid Theory LP, but they didn't. So this is High Voltage. It is a more of a much more hip-hop focused remix of that song. The producer is DJ Babu, and it features Evidence and Pharaoh fucking Monch. Ain't a damn thing changed. It is stylized H!VLTG3.
Yeah, High Voltage 3. this is a very good song. This song kicks ass. I really like this. This is one that I may... No, I'm not gonna lie and say I'm going to listen to it again, but if it came on, I'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, let's do this. I probably wouldn't know it was Linkin Park, but I would probably get a little, you know,
I am
dancey.
I saw this song, like I saw, oh, this song's up next. First off, I saw the song and I was like, oh man, that fucking title is like, wow, like that's what they've done with that title as far as stylizing. And I was like, okay, I can fucking really get down with this. This is very fucking cool to me. And then I started listening to it. There was like, maybe it was, I don't think it was just me. There's a crackle. There's like a crackle in the song that's
there on purpose. Yeah.
On purpose. Definitely. I could. And it was, that sound is really upsetting to me. Like that my ears don't like that sound at all. So I just can't help it. It was just like, oh, I don't want to be listening to this. But the second verse I liked a lot more. I don't know who that was.
Pharaoh
Monch. Then I liked that one a lot more. And the song, as far as the hip hop song goes, not my favorite, mostly because of the crackle. But still, I enjoyed it a lot compared to just like, you know, a song where Linkin Park is playing music or whatever.
True.
Yeah,
I
this
agree.
Definitely has the least amount of sort of Linkin Park in it on the record, I would say. And this is the type of track that it makes you feel like Pharaoh Monch is like the best rapper of all time. Like it just, when he shows up, you're like, oh my God, he's so much better than every rapper I've heard in the last 35 minutes.
His
tone is amazing. And then just like the flow that he adopts on this track is unreal. And I'm just like, and I've been a Pharaoh Monch fan, but I wouldn't say I've ever really gotten into his records particularly. But then he shows up in a situation like this, and you're like, oh, God damn, I got to listen to some more Pharaoh Monch. Like,
yeah, that's
unreal.
What I thought, too. I thought I would like to listen to whoever the second verse person is. I figured I'd ask you guys, because I figure, you know, you fucking nerds will know that type of shit.
Yeah, we know it for sure. So then, yeah, then we have the Riff Raff voicemail, which we talked about already. And then we go to the remix of With You, which is produced by, I don't even know how to, or sorry, it is produced by Linkin Park and the Dust Brothers, and then is featuring AC Alone. I think it's AC Alone, the rapper. And it is stylized WTH greater than symbol YOU.
Yeah, that one's not as cool. I will be honest. That's probably the first one where it's kind of like, okay, whatever. You know, not really that impressed with that name.
Yeah, because they do the whole word you.
Basically.
What's like, that? That's already
yeah,
we are,
they have
we know
the same
that
exact
word.
Amount of characters and like yeah. it's really so, not good.
This one I felt like here's one of my notes here. I suspect that the remixers listened to the original track and were like, what am I supposed to do with this? That's like because it doesn't sound that much different. And yeah, you know, whatever. It's a Linkin Park song.
Well, to me, that was characteristic of the Dust Brothers, though. Like, I feel like the Dust Brothers used to remix a ton of nu metal and it was never good. And it just felt like that you'd be like, it's exactly what you said, Brian. You'd be like, is this a remix? Like they'd take a song and they'd just like speed it up by like 5 BPM. And then that would be their remix. It's like, I don't know. The Dust Brothers never did anything that was impressive to me. I didn't like any of their remixes. And I know that they, you know, they did some stuff with Beastie Boys and they've got a long history of being successful producers and whatever, but remix is not great. And I agree. Like this is where it started to go. For me, it starts to go a little bit downhill on this remix record where you start to go, oh boy, there's 20 tracks on here. That's a lot.
Yeah, I will admit I was playing Rocket League video game while I was listening to the album, and I was playing a really intense match during this song. While this song was on, my partner was kind of a little bit toxic in the chat and he was just kind of getting under my skin a little bit. And it was like 2-2 went into overtime. So I was really hyper focused. And this one just kind of felt like background music to me. It felt like really like it could have been. This is one where it has a lot of Linkin Park-ish type stuff in it.
It's very similar to the original Linkin Park song. It just is sped up a little and has some kind of more like industrial guitar sounds in it.
I just want to say Dan left for a little bit there. He's the producer of the show. He just walked off in the middle of the show.
Honestly, yeah, he's into the toilet.
That's probably what the producers of this song did too, if you know what I mean.
Oh, come on, man. Come on, man. I could be listening. Come on,
man. Yeah, the Dust Brothers are one of our 200 patrons.
200 patrons. That reminds me. Do you guys have guests on the main episodes?
No, never.
Oh, fuck, man.
Once.
I'd love to.
She was a member of the band we covered. So
yeah, we were in the band we were reviewing. So
I'd
yes.
love to get out there to a bigger audience sometime. You know what I mean? Just I'd love to reach a larger audience. But
well, you're on a podcast about a genre you couldn't even remember the name of, so that's probably not going to be the place to boost your profile. Okay, then we go from there into a 29-second instrumental called Intermission. This is by Mike Shinoda from Linkin Park.
Oh, it's just called Intermission, like I-N-T-E-R. That's cool.
No, it's
that's
not.
Cool.
No,
what?
It's, no,
wait, hang on. Whoa, wait, sorry, what?
No, this is called, because we've already seen the forward slash, Chris, but we haven't seen the backslash. So this one is NTR / mission, MSSION. So we get one of the I's in it, but not the other one.
Hey, where's your brother? Where's your brother? That's such a cool name, man.
That famous thing that people put in albums, intermissions. Yes.
Yeah, uh-huh. We love an intermission. And it's track 12 of 20, so it's not even right in the middle.
I know, it's stupid as
hell. We gotta respect that. But yeah, nothing really happens in that one. And then we go on from there into the remix of Paper Cut, which is featuring Cheap Shot, Jubaka, Roscoe, and Planet Asia. So it's remixed by Cheap Shot, features Jubaka, Roscoe, and Planet Asia, and it is stylized PPR:KUT. So
not quite like a C-U-T, like a cut.
Had no idea who any of the guys were in this song.
No,
so
I don't,
if they're
never
really
heard of
them famous,
either.
Then
no,
but
they're not.
You know, anytime a non-Linkin Park guy's rapping, I'm into it.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't really focused on who was on the track. I was looking at the title of it and how they stylized it, and I started thinking like, how can I be cooler? And I was just started thinking about different things that I could do in my life, maybe to wear cooler t-shirts and things like that. Maybe stylize my name. It was at this point where I started thinking like C and then like, you know, maybe an L, you know, and then there's like, you know, because the L is like part of the H, you know what I mean?
Oh,
and then
I see.
Bring like a K over and then wrap it around to an S. And I was just like, yeah, so, but the song was okay.
Chris, I think your name would start with a K, I think, in this language, you know?
Yeah,
I feel like
right.
It would. I feel like it
you're
would start
right.
with a K, and the S would be, you know, that like overlapping S symbol. I don't even know what it's called, but you know the one I'm talking about, where it's like the two S's. That would be your S for sure.
And then
it's just
the,
what punctuation mark are you putting in there?
I mean, and X. Then I guess maybe, and then like the R would probably be the only thing that would stay in there. It would be like a K, and then it would be an R. And then it would be some sort of symbol and then that fake S. So the symbol, like maybe like a colon or something like that.
Yeah. Or you can do exclamation point maybe for
an
the
exclamation
eye.
Point that would be like, it looks like an I very much, upside down one. Yeah. Kind of, that's kind of cool vibes. We should
That'd
all definitely
sick.
Think of our stylized names, and we should definitely put it on the episode, like in the description.
I agree. I'm trying to find the stylized S in the bar so I can like actually.
Hey Brian,
I want to visualize this.
Hey Brian, what? Start thinking about your stylized name over there, buddy. It's gonna be your time soon.
B R I A N.
This guy got no creativity. What the hell?
Okay, I'm pulling up, Chris. I'm gonna do your name in the chat here. I do think this is right here. Let's see. There we go. Like that.
Yep. That's exactly it.
Criff. Cry.
Oh no. That looks so cool. So definitely, can you put that in the description of it for my name?
Yes, I can. I will. Yeah. This is the. It's called the section sign. It's a typographical character for referencing individually numbered sections of a document, and is frequently used when citing sections of legal code. It's also known as the Sil Crow. Is also the symbol there. So
very cool.
Very cool shit, Bri. I think.
Cool.
You'd go like honestly, I would go the backwards R like corn.
Oh, I always do that.
Yeah, no, yeah. I know. So I think you'd have to go like you, but you're eight for sure.
Backwards
R. Eight backwards corn R. We got to get rid of the Y. It's too much like a no. Or you keep the Y and you get rid of the A.
YN, yeah.
Just YN, yeah. I think that works.
Yeah, yeah. Exclamation point! Just because it's you should be excited when you say my name.
Okay,
well,
like
I've
that.
Already got one in mind, though. You might want to consider getting your own fucking symbols or whatever.
That's but, those are.
I mean, it's
my
up
symbol.
To you. Like, it's up to you if you want to have like sort of a big fucking fight with one of your boys and like a big falling out over this shit. Then so be it. But I would say get some different symbols for your fucking stylized name.
All right, question mark. Okay. It's kind of cool. Brian?
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. Hey, hang on. Can we get back to reviewing the album, please? I mean, we've got to have been going already for... It's been going for longer than the damn album now.
Okay, Brian, I put your
Oh, it
your
does look cool, Brian.
Name in the chat there.
But it's not... It's a question mark. Just saying.
It looks like Brinnell. Question mark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry. It looks like Brinnell.
He doesn't want to have a fight with me.
Okay.
No, I would never... Yes,
there
it is. Bryn question mark.
And then John, I think John, for you, obviously, you should do like the at symbol instead of, I know it's an A, but that should be your O because that kind
of
fucks with things.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
instead of an O
maybe.
For you. And then I think
Z-H-A-U-N would be something.
Oh, I see.
Jean.
Jean.
But that I don't have any symbols or anything. It's like, oh, we're just respelling it.
But you could do it with the at symbol. You could do it with the at symbol. And yeah.
Yeah, okay. So we go Z-H at symbol. So like that?
That's fucking so cool looking.
Yeah, that's fucking cool, man. Honestly, Dan, don't fucking forget to do this, man. Put this fucking shit in. Do you do the description? Okay, John.
No, I'll do this. Come on.
I'll do it. Sorry.
John. John is the shit. I want to call you John all the time.
John. Yeah, I like it. Okay, I'm copying these down, and I will make sure that they end up in the episode description, most certainly.
John.
I don't even know what fucking song we're on anymore.
We are on song 13. 14. Well, yeah, we're, we haven't fully said 13 14. Yet.
So, yeah, we did 13 paper cut. I didn't like it. Paper cut, by the way. Not great. Okay, well, next...
No, I don't even want to talk about it.
Okay. Nope. Next one is Runaway. This is featuring Backyard Bangers and Phoenix Orion, who I have no idea who they are. They don't even have Wikipedia entries, so that's never a good sign. It is a remix of the song Runaway, and it is stylized RNW at symbol Y. So,
ooh, that's kind of like Jean. Really?
Your name. Somewhat, it's got a little bit of the Jean in it there. Yeah.
It's got some Jean attitude.
It's got some Jean vibes, definitely. Yeah. I just put boring beside this one with a sad face. That's literally, I don't recall it. I don't remember it. On my notes, it just says boring with a sad face beside it.
I said this album is forever. Just noticed that the last song has Aaron Lewis, so I guess that's exciting. I didn't like this song. I do not like this at all. Okay, at the end of the song, a non-Linkin Park guy rapped, so that part was good.
Yeah, it's not very good. I don't like Paper Cut that much either, just like as a song. And I think, or sorry, Runaway rather. It's one of the weaker songs on Hybrid Theory. And so, yeah, to hear it remixed in a way that is also not good is not good. So, yeah, this is where you sort of go, okay, maybe this album needed a bit of an editor. Because for me, that's like three songs in a row, not very good. And then we're going to go into a fourth one that's not very good either. This is a remix of My December, which was a sort of legendary Linkin Park B-side for Hybrid Theory. It was one of those that it didn't make the actual album, but it was one of those back in the day, sort of pre-internet, or not pre-internet, but back in the like pre-album days. This was one you'd try to find on like file sharing services because it wasn't easy to get a hold of. This is the cover of My December. Yeah.
I've never heard it before because like literally to this day, I've never heard it because the thing I was listening to didn't have it on there. You guys don't fucking give me the album for free. So I was like, the thing I was looking at just didn't have it. So I never,
it didn't have the remix either.
Didn't have this on it.
Okay. Well, this one was remixed by, Mickey P, and features vocals from Kelly Alley. Who was the lead singer of the trip hop group The Sneaker Pimps? This one is stylized M Y less than symbol, and then December is D S M B R.
Dude, that's cool.
That's cool
because that's not how you spell December.
Well, and people are always saying, why doesn't December have an S in it? Right.
That's so. If the Matrix was real, this would be the most popular music of all time. And now I just get crazy in it, right? Where I'm like, I hate this song. Sounds like Seal or some shit. Thumbs down. No non-Linkin Park guy raps. This is the worst song by far. Boo. This might be one of my least favorite songs ever. So
I'm glad I didn't hear it.
Oof. Sounds like Seal. That's an indictment coming from Brian. Not to me, it's not, but I know coming from Brian, sounding like Seal, that's a real indictment. Yeah,
Seal situation on this show recently, Chris, yeah, where John yelled at me for not liking Seal.
Yeah, it was a situation. December.
Because he's fucking the way his face looks like.
That has nothing to do with why I don't like him. I think it's because his music's kind of corny.
Because, I mean, come on, man. You can't be judging a guy because he's got a face.
It has nothing to do with the way he looks. It's because he's corny.
It was honestly, Brian wasn't even that mad about Seal, and then he Googled a picture of Seal and got noticeably more angry.
That's not what happened. That's not what happened.
That's weird.
I was just saying that this band, Mushroomhead, did a really good cover of a Seal song, and John was like, you don't fuck with Seal, and it's just like, all right, man, well.
No, you know, I didn't say.
I guess I'll back off.
No, don't fucking I did not say don't fuck with Seal. I said Mushroom Head should not fuck with Seal. There's a big difference. You can cover Seal. Mushroom Head should not be covering Seal. That's what I'm saying.
I saw Harbor Seal in Vancouver 4 times in a row walking down into downtown by the Science World there. 4 times in a row I've seen this. I think it's the same Harbor Seal. Very cute. Very cute.
Is that somebody from Jurassic 5?
Come on, man.
Wow.
Come on, man. Don't do that shit. Don't do that. Come on.
You can see what I deal with here, Chris.
Come on, you man. Can't what do you got a problem with, man? He doesn't even have a facial deformity, man. Why are you picking on him, dude?
I'm not picking
on him. It's insane. Man. All right, then we get the voicemail from Steph Carpenter of the Deftones, and then we get Steph Carpenter guesting on By Myself. This one is produced by Josh Abraham, features Steph on guitar, and it is stylized BY_MYSLF.
Again, a and bad Brian, one. Not that
this,
good of a
difference. Yeah, this different. One screamed to me, Bri, that we couldn't get Chino. Chino wouldn't do it. Chino says no, so Steph's like, okay, whatever. I'll noodle some guitar on here that you will not be recognizable as me.
This album at this point started to just feel like I was watching the credits of a 2000s action movie. Like, that is what I was starting to feel like as we went, like, fuck, this is some credits ass music, man.
Because that's what a lot of movies did at the time. They would do a remix of a song as the, like, big song. Sorry, Chris.
Well, I was just saying, like, yeah, at this point in the album, I was like, I can't fucking even listen to this song. And the truth of it is fair. Because, once again, this song was not on the list of songs that I was going off of, so I have not heard it. But
you didn't miss anything, yeah.
It's got the Deftones
guitar player, yeah.
Oh, very, very cool. Okay. So that, I'll definitely go check it out.
Yeah, you don't want to miss that. Deftones guy?
If no, you're I don't not like a Deftones the, guy, that'd be crazy. That's
I don't,
a crazy
I don't like
say.
The Deftones. Like, I don't not like them. I'm sure if I heard one of their songs, I might be like, hey, nice, man. You know, but.
Is a bop.
Yeah.
That's what the kids say when something's
I don't
a bop.
Listen to them, though, actively, no.
They're very good.
They're very good, yeah. And then we've got 3 tracks left. The next one, this might be the most stupid inclusion of a song that's ever been done. It is a remix of Cure for the Itch, which is an instrumental remix already. So it is essentially a remix of a remix by the DJ in Linkin Park, Joseph Hahn, who is credited here as Chairman Hahn. And this one, Chris, you have to admit, very cool stylization here. They spell Cure, K-Y-U-R. Number 4, THICH.
God, the best part about it is like how it's not annoying. How it's like you're looking at it and you're like, wow, that's totally like, you know, the way you spell that, it doesn't make me want to come after you or whatever and just fucking find out who thought of that one and and just fucking send him an angry message like, what the fuck, man? What the fuck are you doing, dude? What's your fucking problem, you know? No, very. It's very cool. It's, Cure, K-Y-U-R-4. That's fucking God, man. Anyways, yes.
Cure for the Itch.
Well, that is a good name for it. This music sounds like the type of music they play too loud in the Hypebeast stores in Los Angeles.
That's probably why I enjoyed it. It's probably why I enjoyed it with my vape hat, being that I'm a Hypebeast myself and I'm always in those Hypebeast stores. And I did. I like this song. It actually brought me back a little bit. I just thought it was like I could dance to this song. That's what I was thinking to myself. I could dance to this. It's got a little bit of danceability. I liked a little bit that had some scratching in it as well that I didn't hate. So I didn't. Again, I have no. I don't know any of the original shit. So none of that has any meaning to me. I didn't mind this one.
Fair enough. Yep. I think, yeah, if you're aware of the original, which is also just, an instrumental on Hybrid Theory, it's a very weird inclusion, especially when you consider that we have now gone through almost 50 minutes of this album and we haven't gotten to the two biggest songs on the Linkin Park record. Mm-hmm. We start off with One Step Closer, the remix of One Step Closer. This is produced by the Humble Brothers and features Jonathan Davis of Korn, and that is spelled number one, STP. KLOSR.
Yeah, that's good. That's real good. Yeah.
I was so excited as I saw the name Jonathan Davis. Like, okay, well, Jonathan Davis is going to be in a song, so I'll just get excited about that. It stinks what he did. What Jonathan Davis does in it is awful. I'd rather just listen to One Step Closer to the Edge, and I'd rather just listen to a regular song. This sucked.
This was not a hit for me at all. I mentioned in the thing that it's a famous song that I recognized, so I know this one. Again, I was unimpressed with JD. I mean, Jonathan Davis for me has such an unimpressive name that I do find it hard to get excited for somebody whose name is Jonathan Davis.
It's got no dollar signs in it at all.
Well, it's like it's not stylized. It's like everything's facing the regular direction.
What if I told you Solo, his name is J Devil?
Yeah.
J period.
Okay.
Devil.
Yeah. Then I'm popping my headphones on. Yeah. Okay. No, this was for me as like, I think this could have hit, right? Like in the same way that like In the End for me really hit as like just a really casual listener. I was like, okay, there's a song I recognize. And then it's like a good remix of it where it's different. And it's like, but this did not hit for me. I said it was just okay. That's what I put on there. Just okay.
Yeah, it's not very good. Especially because, I agree with Brian. Like, Jonathan Davis gets his sort of like first of all, the song has like a 2 minute instrumental opening, which is
it's too long. The song is too
long.
It's
the song's too long.
Song. Yeah.
No one ever heard One Step Closer, which I believe is like 2.5 minutes long. It's quite a short song. No one has ever heard that song and been like, God, I wish there was 4 more minutes to this one. Cause it's just like a perfect quick song. Yeah. One Step Closer is 237 on the record.
It.
So they've almost triple. I mean, quite almost like, double and a half. It's too much. And then, so Jonathan Davis gets his own little kind of verse, which is fine. And then they do the shut up part. And then Jonathan Davis just sings like, that is boring. Shut up. That in the middle. Yeah. And it doesn't add anything to it.
Which was the song, by the way, where it said like over and over and over and over. And then they kept playing that part over and over again.
Yeah.
That happened at some point in the album. And I remember thinking to myself like, wow, that's really like kind of like poetic sort of like over and over. And it's like,
I don't know
if you guys picked up on it when you were listening, but when they kept playing over and over, they played it over and over. And it's kind of it makes you think a little bit. So it's cool to be able to think while you're listening.
It's over and over again.
Then he says, and then again and again, and it's like, oh shit, okay, they're doing something here, and they're very aware of it, you know.
Yeah, they're very aware. They're in it, you know.
There's not a lot that's done not on purpose on this album, definitely.
Oh no,
it's very try hard.
It's very, very contrived.
Yeah, Linkin Park is very much that band. They're very serious about. I'm trying to think of what song that is. Over and over again.
It's like a famous one.
Yeah,
just it's One Step like Closer.
Is it One Step Closer? Okay, it's the song we're literally listening to.
It's this one.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks, Dan. Thank you so much. Again. Thank God Dan was sitting there at that time and he hadn't walked away like he did that one time.
Thank God. And then the album closes out with a track that Brian referenced earlier. This is Crawling with Aaron Lewis of Stain. It's produced by Mike Shinoda, spelled K-R-W-L-N-G.
Could have closed with a stronger name.
Yeah. Boring song, too. Just as boring as a song could ever possibly be. Aaron Lewis isn't good in it, which I was kind of excited to hear how they would, like, put Aaron Lewis in a Linkin Park song. And they didn't do it well. It stunk. So, not a good song. Two songs with the big stars in them really ate shit on this album.
I'm going to disagree. I think they did basically exactly the same thing with Jonathan Davis and Aaron Lewis. They kind of like did their sort of remix of the song and then gave them a chance to kind of just like have a fun verse in the song. Or, well, Aaron Lewis sings the original verse of Crawling, but he's, I think his tone adds something to it, to be honest. Mm. I think when he shows up in the song, it's kind of like, oh, cool. All right. Aaron Lewis is singing this song and that's very cool. And I like it. Again, has a very long intro that is perhaps a little superfluous, but I thought in the way that One Step Closer was not successful, this song was successful, and I think it's a pretty good. I think it's a pretty good remix.
That, I didn't hate it.
That might be because you guys like Aaron Lewis's politics. That's like a little different thing between me and you guys. True, like him. I think his politics
is he
are
the guy?
Hideous.
Is he the one from the Patriots who killed all the people?
That's Aaron Hernandez.
Oh, okay.
Aaron
yeah.
Lewis is the lead singer of Stained.
Oh, okay. In that case, no, I don't like him at all.
He's very conservative. Like, yeah, he's like extremely wrong, conservative.
In that case.
Yeah, he's got a lot of issues. When we reviewed the Stained record, or one of the Stained records, we went over it. And it's not great, that's for sure. But, I mean, he sounds good on this track to me.
I didn't hate the track. I thought that it was, again, one that I recognize. Also, I recognized it from the start of the album. Made me feel really cool. I was like, oh, shit, okay, this was from the beginning. And I was like, now I've figured something out. And I a little bit too long. Good big buildup again. Yeah, not a terrible way to end the album. But definitely I thought that the early part of the album was much stronger in general.
I think it definitely loses steam in the middle, especially considering it's so long, and then has a decent song at the end. And it's nice to hear Jonathan Davis, even if that song's not great. But yeah, it's certainly agreed, Chris, much stronger first half. Overall thoughts on the album. Brian, you want to give us your overall take?
It's doo-doo. It's a doo-doo album. It's not good. There's a few good songs on it, namely songs where Linkin Park guys, where there's rappers. I like those, but no, I didn't like it. But I'm glad somebody picked it, because people have been telling me this is the remix album I need to listen to like realize why remix albums are good. And now I've listened to it and I'm digging my heels in even further on remixes.
I remember listening to this in like 2002 and thinking like, oh my God, Linkin Park might be the best band on earth.
Like, they've done it again.
They've done it. I mean, I loved Hybrid Theory. And then I heard this because I was very, I've talked about this on the show before. I was very anti-remix. I got fucked over by the Bush X remix album. Every remix I ever heard when I was younger, I was like, oh, this is all electronica bullshit. You know, and I was not a fan. And this was the first time where I was like, man, remixes can be cool. Linkin Park knows how to make a remix fucking cool.
I remember in 2002 out on the playground, I heard some kid say, hey, man, Linkin Park knows how to make remixes cool. And then I said some word on here that I can't repeat on here.
Shut up, nerd.
No, this album was, as I mentioned off the top, I was,
and in 2002, Chris had actually graduated high school. So he came to my high school to hear me say that.
That is true. I that is the year I graduated from high school, actually, 2002, I believe. But I quite enjoyed it. I played Rocket League, played an hour of Rocket League while I listened to it on some nice headphones, gave it full respect, gave it my full over-ear, you know, nice headphones. Well, I'm talking about giving respect to an album to come on your fucking podcast, and you're laughing at me about it. Like, I'm trying
I'm trying to give respect to a dead man, okay?
Well, yeah. Well, somebody has to. I mean, sorry. We don't all go around mocking Seal because of his face thing.
It's not what I do. And number two, the thing is, like, I'm the one who pays attention to the Chester Bennington conspiracy theory. So, actually, I do care.
Dude, I'll tell you what, man.
Yeah, this is how much Brian cares. He comes on this show, he shits on Linkin Park's album, even though he knows Chester's dead, and then he says, oh, actually, Chester was murdered because he was a pedophile. So
no, yeah, this guy... no, because he was about to expose pedophiles.
Mm.
This guy loves Chester so much that he says, like, hey, everybody, why don't you, instead of looking at fucking Seal's Chester, why don't you look up at his fucking deformed face? Because he looks so fucked up. Man, that's fucked up. And I'm, it was cool to come on and everything, John, but the fucking Seal thing was fucked up. Dude, if I'm being honest.
I'm sorry, man. I'll make it up to you. I'll make it up to you.
Appreciate it.
I'll make it up to you too, Chris. I'll make it up to you too. One of the several other times we record together.
That's true. I do see you guys, both of you, a lot. In fact, all three of you. I see all three of you a lot.
Yeah.
But I would give this album, I would say, if I was being honest, if I was giving it out of 10, I would give it a 7 out of 10. That's my honest. I mean, I'm just,
this is like when I gave Hollywood Undead a 35.
Yeah. I mean, I'm seriously aghast. I cannot believe that does he treat other people like this when they come on?
No,
he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. He treats people great. He gets nervous because sometimes I'll bring people on the show he doesn't know, and then he's like all on his. It's like a parent teacher interview.
I see. So if he doesn't even wear his hat.
He's like, oh shit, we got a girl on the show I've never met before. Okay,
so he wouldn't. Then in that case, he'd be a little bit too afraid to like just fucking laugh like aggressively and loudly into the microphone when they gave their final score for the album.
He would never do that.
No. Sorry, that was funny though. I would agree.
I mean, I would probably put this around a 7 or 7.5. We don't usually rate things out of 10, but that's where I would have it if I was rating it out of 10 as well.
Yeah. Wait, you like it the same amount as Chris?
I mean, I like it more than Chris.
He probably liked it a bit more, I would say.
Well,
I said seven or seven and a half. Okay, I'll go 7.5. Does that make you feel better, Brian?
Yeah.
I can't believe you only like it.
Hey, Brian, you give yours then. Hey, big man, give yours then. Give yours.
Yeah, Brian, score it on a scale of 1 to Jurassic 5.
Yeah, come on, let's hear it.
Oh, we got to say, okay. If it's 1 to 5, it's a 1. But if it's 1 to 10, Jurassic 5. If it's 1 to Jurassic 5, it's a 1. But if it's a 1 to 10, it's like a 4.5.
That's not how math works at all. It's not at all.
This is a really easy conversion to
just
2.
Not at all. I would give it 25 out of 50 or 80
two.
Out of 100.
It's just times 2.
So that's the numbers. I'm sticking to those numbers. Okay.
I would give it 40 out of 100, or if I was giving it a letter grade, a C+.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Really good.
None of us know if that's right or wrong, but John's a teacher, so he does.
No, that's a good. It was a technically sound joke. Like a C+ is usually like a 70. So that was
67% or higher. 67% to 86%. No, wait. Not 74%.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, 74. Yeah, you got it. Chris, thank you very much for joining us. I apologize for my co-host being so rude to you.
I do stuff with him, so I know how he is.
Okay.
It's cool.
All right. Before we go, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'll plug my channel. It's called Not Even a Show. I do pranks. I just had on Jack Berkman, the guy who does stuff with Jacob Wall, and I did an interview with him where he's pretending to be on a hunger strike, and he said he lost weight and his hair, and he came on and he was wearing a bald cap. So go over and check that out.
Beautiful. So yeah, give Chris a follow on YouTube, Not Even a Show. You're also at twitch.tv/NotEvenAShow.
That's right.
And on Twitter @TheCJS. Again, thank you to Darcy for donating to have us listen to this album. Again, I also apologize to you for Brian's behavior. This is a thing that you can do if you're listening to this and you're saying to yourself, oh, I'd love to donate to have these guys listen to an album. You can head on over to Patreon. It's $50 one time. You donate, and we're currently booking for September. So if you want to get in the queue, you can do that. We've got a couple crazy ones coming up, so it should be good. So again, and if you want to donate to have us do a single, all that's over on our Patreon. Join our Discord, all that stuff. Thank you for donating. We appreciate it. Thanks again to Chris James for being here. And for Brian, I'm John. We'll see you back here very soon. Bye.